Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. And hello again, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Happy Hour here on 92.9 WBPM. We've got Jonna Spilbor, we have Carol Pesci, and myself. I'm Frankenberry. Good morning. And like I said, another episode, and we're glad you've joined us this morning. And of course, I'm glad the ladies have joined us, because otherwise there wouldn't be much of a show.
A one-man show.
Yeah, I think you could hold your own for a few minutes, Frankenberry.
Hey, so, we got to February.
I was just going to say that. Oh, my God. We share a brain. Yeah. No, really. You shut up. No, we did. We got through February. Not only are we like really motoring towards spring, but I was reminded the other day of something I completely forgot. We're like maybe a week away from daylight savings time.
Yes, we are.
We are. And I'm very excited about it because I'll finally be able to catch my clock up in my car.
Oh, you're one of those.
Yeah, I'm one of those.
Craig put a watch on the other day and he's like, oh man, I haven't changed the time yet. I'm like, well, daylight savings is like in another week. He goes, ah, screw it. I'll leave it.
Just adjust. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Spring always helps us get out of the doldrums a little bit. As does, I was thinking it was significant for me because when I moved out of my house for this renovation, it was still quite bright. It was before we went in. I always get mixed up. I don't know whether it's daylight savings time when we spring ahead or when we fall back. But when I left my house, we had not yet fallen back. So I basically have been out of my house for this renovation for one whole daylight savings time season. Which is, that's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could have, now wait a minute. Maybe I won't have to change any clocks then, right?
That's right. You move into your house in about a week or so, and all the clocks will be correct.
They'll be fine.
Oh, that's funny. That's actually true. Hey. Look at the bright side of a long extended renovation.
There you go.
$50,000 over budget and twice as long as it's supposed to take. But hey, my clocks are right.
Yeah. No, we got to take the little wins where we can get them, Carol.
That's right.
Small victories.
Oh, man. Oh, so God. What's the scoop? You're back home?
So I'll give you the update. Now, I've jumped the gun a few times in the last few weeks about getting in my house. So I will say this. All of my stuff has moved back into the house, all of my belongings. So the pod that was housing all of my junk is now empty and everything is back inside. So that part is good. Just physically, my body has not spent 24 hours yet in the house, but that's getting very, very close. And the reason is, I know I've been very anxious to get back in. Don't get me wrong. Who wouldn't be? You know, it's been a little tough living in my parents, from the basement to the pantry. But I've now developed a new quirk where the fact that I still have people who are working and showing up at my house at whenever they need to, that's not no set schedule. They could show up at 7 o'clock in the morning. They could show up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm on edge that I'll be taking a shower and someone's going to be walking in my house to do whatever they got to do. And I don't like that feeling of being on edge, So I'm like, well, if I just stay in the pantry a little longer, there are a couple of perks. Number one, I haven't cooked or cleaned in 5 months. Who am I kidding? I never cooked.
You don't do that at home.
You didn't do that beforehand.
I didn't do either of those two things before. And the second thing is, I've always loved my dogs. Don't get me wrong. My dogs are senior dogs and I love them, but they really live at my parents' house because my work schedule is so nuts and they need to be around people. And my mother works from home and that's been a great, and she cooks their food all organic and that's been great. But now that I've been living there, I get to spend more time with them. And I I'm just so grateful for that. And I'm going to have a little separation anxiety when I'm no longer snuggled with them in a pantry at night. Because these dogs, I have decided they would live with me under a bridge. Like, that's how tight we are, if that's where we had to move next. So that part's going to be a little sad, but I'm looking forward to new beginnings in my old house with the new look.
Which is great, and especially with the fact that, you know, all the renovations, you know, don't have you moving into a cardboard box.
Well, yeah, I will be applying for a second and third job. But other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how'd you like the play? Yeah, I don't. Nobody ever gets my joke. Did I lose you guys?
We get you.
You don't get my assassination joke? I mean, I know not too many people can pull off being funny about an assassination, but I try. I mean, you
know. It's the effort.
Yeah. So, yeah. So it's good. And, you know, but and I can't wait for us to be able to emerge from our cocoons and have people over. And, you know, I've got a nice big, I still have a nice big deck outside. So we can social distance and have fun and visit with each other. And I'm really looking forward to that.
Okay. Now just listen, from a Frankenberry perspective, don't be getting all crazy talk on people all socializing and stuff again. Okay.
Why not?
You know,
I can't
me.
Go crazy. I know. Well, you didn't socialize before the pandemic
exactly,
so much.
Exactly. So I keep hearing people saying, oh, you know, we can't wait to, you know, get out on the road again and take a trip. We can't wait to go here. We can't wait to hang out with people. And I'm sitting back going, why? I mean, really, is there something in it that I'm missing? Because it wasn't there beforehand, and I have no desires to get back into what I wasn't there in the first place now.
You know what? You would come do the show like outside at Jonna's in warm weather, wouldn't you, with the two of us?
If it was just the three of us, sure. I mean, if things are safe, you know, and we feel a little bit more comfortable, and you know, maybe at that particular point too, everybody has finally gotten a vaccination. Sure. Plus, I want to come over and see your raccoons.
I was going to say, just the three of us and a family of raccoons.
That's right.
Because you know what's...
Speaking of that, by the way, I just have to tell you, one of the things, and you guys know it, and I've mentioned this before, but one of the things that I love about the, you know, my apartment and the house and my landlady, Celie, or as Jonna refers to her, my land bestie.
Because the three of us are animal lovers, but Carol will remember this, Frankenberry. When you moved out of your last apartment and you stumbled on this apartment with your new land bestie, we looked at each other and said, there is no more perfect place on this planet for you to be. And, you know, I know you might pay rent to your land bestie, but I'm sure, she sat in butter or however the phrase is too, getting a tenant like you. And it's just the perfect combination.
For those of you listening who aren't clear, Frankenberry is an animal lover, as Jonna and I both are. And he rents an apartment at an animal rescue and sanctuary. So this is the backstory.
Yes, the land bestie owns the sanctuary that's down the hill, and I live above her garage in her house. So, but you know, hey, look, the one thing I will say, and you guys are right, yes, it's a perfect place, and it's filled with plenty of fur, and I do what I can to try to help out. But I got to tell you, that apartment has been. It's been my muse for the last 3 years, and I have written more at my blog and done more stuff at my blog in 3 years than I have ever done before, because I am just so incredibly comfortable there. So, you know,
that's awesome.
Yeah, there is nothing more that I can say than I have found a place to be comfortable.
That's awesome.
Well, that's great. That is really great. Yeah, I like when the universe, makes stuff happen exactly as it should be. So that's good. Now, can we move on to less happy things? I have a complaint.
That's enough happiness for one morning.
That's right, damn it. Come on. Bring us down, for God's sake.
We've had 90 seconds of happiness, but this is a phenomenon that's really irritating. And it's not a first world problem at all. But I got to tell you what's going on, because I don't even think that there's a solution, to be honest with you. Maybe you guys will have one. And I'm probably also, let me say in advance, I'm going to upset anybody out there who's listening who either works for the United States Postal Service or who has loved ones who work for the United States Postal Service. But all of us are customers of the United States Postal Service. No, every single person with an earshot on my voice is a customer of the post office. except for one, me. Uh-oh. Why am I not a customer? Right. I should be a customer of the post office. I pay taxes. I have a mailbox. I live in a house. That qualifies me, does it not, to be a customer of the post office?
It but should.
It should, right? I'm not crazy yet.
Do they have the address of the pantry?
Oh, no, no. Yeah, I mean,
She's like Harry Potter, number 4 Privet Drive, the cupboard under the stairs.
Oh, I love that. I'm going to change my address on the envelopes. But listen, I'm not even talking. I'm talking about my house that's being renovated, that prior to this renovation, I didn't have any problem at all getting packages. But during this renovation, I have ordered many things that I'm not just talking like furnishings and, you know, pleasantries. I'm talking like plumbing supplies and electrical supplies that needed to arrive at my house quickly, that I was not capable of going out and buying, that I had to order and ship and pay extra to ship sometimes. And sometimes I didn't have a choice who was going to carry it to my house, whether it was UPS, FedEx, USPS. And for the last couple of months, the post office has decided I'm not getting any packages. I am not getting any packages. And so I've had to either send somebody to the post office to pick them up. I've had to order items someplace else and send the ones that are sitting at the post office back because I'm in a time crunch. And I said to myself, what is going on? Why will they not deliver packages all of a sudden to my house? So it just so happens that one of the workers went to the post office because we needed something that they were holding hostage. And somebody at the post office said, oh, we can't deliver packages to that house because there's too much stuff in the driveway. And if we can't turn around in the driveway, we won't drive down the driveway.
Oh, I've heard that before, though.
I thought that was strange. Now, the strange thing about that is, okay, so let me see. If you lived with a large family and everybody owned a vehicle and your vehicles were parked in your driveway where vehicles are supposed to park, you're not going to get any packages because the mail people won't drive down the driveway and do a 6-point turn instead of a 3-point turn to turn themselves around and get out. That's BS meter number one. Number two.
BS meter. I think we need a sound effect for the BS meter, Frank and
Barry. Oh, will you work on that, Frank and Barry? Something real, and not like a boing either. Like everybody did a boing. We need like a angry cow kind of sound. BS meter. Yeah, like a bull. Angry bull.
How about an angry goat? It sounds like a screaming human.
No, because they're cute. And we've used that before when you did the song when I first moved out. You had angry goat sounds or my scream.
No, that was your like scream, Jonna. That was your scream. That was not a goat.
That wasn't a goat. Right, Carol's right. That was you, Spielberg.
Oh, you just I suddenly sound like a goat. Oh, well, my scream and an angry goat sounds exactly alike. Maybe that'll be my second career. Angry goat voiceover. So, how much do you think I can make doing that? 100,000? That's what I'm sure.
There's a big market for that.
Maybe like an angry bull and then a toilet flushing. Like something like that. A BS meter sound. All right, so that's number one. BS meter number two is that
home. Wait, like, hang on. Frankie Berry, add a little splash in there. Okay, go ahead.
Definitely a splash at the end. Yes.
There we go. That's effective. So BS meter number two, renovations don't last forever. I mean, I know mine has lasted a long time, but if you're a postal person and you drive down somebody's driveway and there happens to be a couple of work trucks there, you know, maybe the next day they're not going to be there. There was plenty of days where there was nothing going on at my house. Trust me, that's one of the reasons why it took so long. So that's BS meter number two. BS meter number three, and the final BS meter in my BS argument against the post office, is that I put a letter, a typewritten, partially typewritten, partially handwritten letter in my mailbox the other day. And it was nice. I was angry, but I calmed down. I wrote a letter and I just said, you know, this renovation has been a pain in both of our butts, and I really appreciate all your hard work and all your efforts to get me my packages and my mail on time. I really appreciate it. And now you got to keep up the good work and drop off my gosh darn packages because I need that. And if I don't get them when I expect them, it holds up the show. I mean, imagine when you have a plumber or an electrician sitting around waiting for a package to arrive because it said it was arriving on such and such a date, and then it doesn't show up. Now everybody has wasted their time. And so I put a little smiley face, and I thanked him, and him or her, I don't even know who my postal person is, put it in the mailbox, along with a redelivery request for something that they've been holding for over a week. Do you think I got my sconces? No. Do you think I got a reply to that letter? No. They've completely ignored my request. BS meter number 3. So in conclusion, I have decided that whoever delivers my packages personally hates my guts. And this is all a means of getting under my skin. What say you, jury?
I got something to say. You want to go first, Frankenberry?
No, you can go. You can go first.
Well, first of all, you need to go back to is it New Hamburg Post Office would be your post office?
Wappingers.
All right. You need to speak to the postmaster and go in person and say, look, I know it's been a long haul. We're about done. But I think maybe they assume there's still a lot of trucks at the end of the driveway and they're done. So can you please make sure whoever's on my route knows construction is done and to please deliver my packages. So be practical about it. I know people at the post office, I know people who work there and I know they work hard. And for whatever reason, I have noticed in the last year, overall, missing mail bills I never get. I now have to keep a list of all my, and you can say, oh, I'll go e-bills. No, I have a whole system because I have multiple businesses. I have my personal accounts. Everything goes in a folder. I pay them periodically. Not getting bills. I've got how to make a list of when they're due. So if I don't get my paper bill, which I have signed up for, or it comes after it's due, I've had quite a few unhappy post office moment. So I don't think it's exclusive to you. And I'll tell you, I've had a number of times where I've ordered something from Amazon and, you know, I work from home. I can see our mailbox from my office window. I can see when the mailman pulls up, that I will get a notice that they couldn't access, driveway was blocked.
Yeah.
Couldn't deliver. No, I was here all day and was never blocked. So I don't know whether they go in the back of the truck and they can't find it and they just continue on the route. I don't know.
So I'm not alone.
No,
you're not. But you do need to go talk to the postmaster, I think.
Yeah, that was actually the first thing that I was going to say, John, is that you just need to go down there, especially, maybe wait till things are done. But you do need to go down there to basically have a conversation in person with whoever you need to have a conversation with and tell them just what Carol said for you to tell them. Now, I realize that's not as exciting to you as being able to hold a grudge, you know, but at the same time, it could possibly solve the issue. And yes, when it comes to some of the other mail issues, well, I think we're all well aware of those from the end of last year until now.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing's been in the news. So, you know, that you take with a grain of salt, but that has nothing to do with what you were saying, Jonna, which is them saying blocked driveways. So that has nothing really to do with stuff arriving late or, you know, whatever.
Pick me.
Your hand is raised. Go.
Girl in the back. Go ahead.
Okay. Here's what I imagine. Here's what I see in my mind's eye when you guys tell me to do the practical thing, which is, you know, sashay on over to the Wappingers post office, get an appointment with the postmaster, general manager over there, and have a nice, calm conversation. What I envision is me. Imagine if you were down in a well and you couldn't see any light, but you knew that you just had to lift your head up and scream for help, like, help, help, I'm down in this well, but you couldn't actually see any activity or see any sunlight. That's kind of what I imagine that to be, like just not really getting any result. Like just sort of screaming into the dark.
I think you will.
You think?
Yeah, yeah, I think you will. I think it's certainly possible for Lassie to run off and get help.
Oh my God, right on cue.
I'm just going to call you Timmy from now on. That's all.
Timmy fell in the well. I don't know. I thought my note would do that. Like, hey, you know, we're done with the construction.
Hey,
looking
right.
forward
hey,
to my
right
packaging.
On cue. Right on cue. UPS is here.
Oh, there you go.
Goes Ginger.
Actually, you know what, Jonna? I have a feeling that if this were a sitcom, we would now cut to a scene where your post person has the letter and they're hanging out in the back room with all the other post people laughing their butts off at your letter.
Laughing. Like, ha ha, we really got her.
That's right. The vendetta against Jonna, it's been successful. She left us a...
Maybe, you know what, Jonna? Maybe it's just not in the stars for you to be getting your mail on time.
Oh. Or maybe my post person is a Capricorn. Cold hearted.
Oh, God.
The segues get worse and worse every week.
We are so good at them.
Oh, gosh. All right. So that's, you know, it's a good time to take a break. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking to one of our favorite people, Hazel Dixon Cooper. She was on with us actually a few weeks ago with her book, Confessions of a Fat Cosmo Girl, because she lost 120 pounds. But prior to that, she was the astrologer for Cosmopolitan Magazine, among many other things. So we're going to be talking astrology. Like, what's the background? Is there really anything to this? And maybe she's going to give us some horoscopes. So I think we're going to have fun with this when we come back.
All right. That sounds good. That is what is on the way. And you're listening to 92.9 WBPM here and Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci and myself. And we will return with Hazel Dixon Cooper. So stick with me, please.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back again this morning here to 92.9 WBPM and Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. And it's time now in segment number two to get to our guest, Hazel Dixon Cooper, and talk a little astrology.
Yeah, so if you listen to the show on a regular basis, you'll remember we had Hazel on not that long ago celebrating her new book, Confessions of a Fat Cosmo Girl, and she shared her story and journey and what she learned about how she lost basically a whole human being. Yeah. She lost 120 pounds and kept it off. So we had fun talking with her. And a few years back, or maybe more than a few years back, she was on our show because Hazel's background prior to her most recent book is in astrology. She's written 5 different books about astrology. She spent 8 years as the bedside astrologer for Cosmopolitan Magazine. Her books are Born on a Rotten Day, Love on a Rotten Day, Work on a Rotten Day, Friends on a Rotten Day, and then Harness Astrology's Bad Boy. So we thought it would be fun. I know Jonna is a big lover of astrology, all things astrology. So I thought it'd be fun to get kind of astrology 101. What's the background? What's the significance? And then maybe we can have a little fun with Hazel reading our signs and giving us a little horoscope here. So Hazel Dixon Cooper, welcome back to Happy Hour.
Thank you, Carol. I am thrilled to be here. And hello, Jonna and Frank and Mary. I'm just wonderful. I'm glad to be back again.
Oh, good. Fun to have you.
So, have you.
So give us the backstory. There's people that may look at astrology and think it's woo-woo, but there's really some science and it goes back a long, long time. So what's the basis of what astrology is about?
Well, basically astrology was originated in Babylonia. The Babylonians were probably, as we know from what we know about history, the first people to actually look at the sky, develop this their own form of horoscopes, and that was about 2,500 years ago. And and it started like trying to make sense out of chaos. You know, they didn't know what was going on in the heavens, what the stars were there for, what the moon and the sun, how it worked, and they observed the sky and observed the patterns of the changing stars, because if you look at the night sky, everything but the North Star moves all the time. So the patterns change. Venus, you know, is called the morning and the evening star because it rises in the east in the summer, I believe, and in the west in the winter. And so they're the ones that actually first started it. And then it spread all around the world, into the Mediterranean, in Egypt, in the Greeks, and the Romans, and virtually every, even the Celts in Ireland, in ancient Ireland, and England, people all over the world, in Asia, Japan, China, all have their own version of some sort of astrology that basically is like our astrology, which tells you about patterns in your own life, patterns in the weather, patterns in business, patterns in medicine. There's a astrology specialists, just like there are specialists in every other business. There's, you know, so it's been around forever. It's been around forever. And it is, you know, despite the woo-woo fun part, my books are that. They're fun. They kind of bash the signs when other books will tell you how wonderful you are. My astrology books tell you, no, you were born on a rotten day, and so was everyone else, you know. So just forget it. But if you use it as a self-knowledge tool, I call it, when I talk to people about astrology in a serious way, call it the very first psychology. Because when you use it as a self-knowledge tool, you will be astounded about what your birth chart that was taken the day you were born. It's a snapshot of where the stars and the planets were the instant you were born. You need your time, your date, and you need the birth time, because it's a 12 section, like a pie chart. And each section represents an area of life. And if you just have your birth sign, I mean, your birth date, you can tell a lot about what signs are in, you know, like where your Venus is and where your Mars is and your moon and all of that. But you don't know what house it is in or life section it's in unless you have the time and the place, because it's based on math, longitude and latitude. And then it kind of drops everything in, like when you're in a tumblers of a combination lock, everything goes into place. And you'll be amazed at what it can tell you about yourself. And then as the planets progress through your life, what's going on and what you can look out for. It's not a don't get out of bed, cover your head up and stay in the house kind of predictions. You never do that. I don't do it. And people who do it, I don't think too much of. But there are things about warnings or signals that you might want. For instance, right now, the planet Uranus is transiting Taurus, and Uranus is the planet of kind of upheavals. You know, it's like the mad scientist planet. It can change your direction of your life in a second, for good, for bad, shake it up, give you an opportunity that you never thought you could handle, but you do handle it. And that's transiting. It's been since I think 2018. And then it took a little break, and then it's coming back actually this week, I think, the end of this week sometime, the 6th or the 7th, until 2025. And when Uranus is in Taurus, Taurus is the planet, or Taurus is the sign that's represented by values, and that can be personal values, business values, moral values, money. Money is a Taurus. Very much a Taurus sign, because it's the second sign of the zodiac, and it's in the house of values and money. So when Uranus
can I just ask you a quick question here, sure. Hazel, before you continue. So this is fascinating to me. The fact that Uranus is in the stage that it's in, or entering the stage that it's in, it's going to be there until 2025. Does that affect everyone universally, or that does it affect you?
It'll affect everybody in some way, depending on where Taurus is in their chart. And that's why it's important to have the time. So you may have Taurus in your 10th house, which is your public life. and Uranus there will affect it. You may have Taurus in your seventh house, which is relationships and partnerships of all kinds. And so whatever it is in your life personally, it will affect you in that area, in that segment of your life. In everybody, for everybody, it will affect us depending on where it is in our lives. You know, Hazel, I mean, in our chart.
Hazel, I have a question about this. First of all, you guys are wonderful how you're pronouncing what I'm going to pronounce as Uranus, because that's the only way I've ever pronounced planet. Hazel, I'm low brown like that, Hazel. I can't help it. So Uranus comes around and is the planet, I guess, of kind of like surprises, is I think what you're talking about, how, you know, it can make something suddenly good or perhaps even something suddenly not good. Is there any way to control like, for example, let's say you're in your chart, Uranus was going to do something that you didn't want to happen. Can people change the astrology? Can they change the zodiacal effect on themselves if you know in advance what's going to be affected by it?
That's a great question. And anything in astrology is not concrete. Okay. It is a trend. It is a possibility. And say you have the, I'm going to use myself as a good example. I was born with Scorpio in the sixth house, and Scorpio can be Scorpio is ruled by Pluto, and its ancient ruler was Mars, and Scorpio can be a little bit, obsessive about things. And so the sixth house is work, and the sixth house also represents your health. And I was obsessed with food. Now, this doesn't mean that you're going, and I'm also a bit of a workaholic when I'm in work mode. You know, I'm much more in my younger days than I am now, but I still am when I get focused on something, I don't want to stop. And with those, it's a trend. It's something to watch for. It's something to kind of warn you about, I guess, a little bit. I don't like to use that word, but it's something just to be aware of in your chart. And an astrology chart has literally hundreds of connections and angles and between signs, oppositions, conjunctions, sextiles, all of these little angles mean something, and all of these little angles tweak your chart. But everything that's in there, nothing is written in stone. Mm-hmm. And it's just like if you have a predisposition to, like in my new book, Confessions, my heart trouble runs on both sides of my family. So, but there's a saying that's been attributed to many famous physicians, but it's absolutely true, is that genetics may load the gun, but your lifestyle pulls the trigger.
Right.
So it's the same thing with astrology. You may have a tendency to be shy. You may have all your planets clustered in one side of your chart where you really need other people's approval. You know, it really want the other people's approval. You may have it clustered in one side of your chart where you just would rather sit home and not go outside, and you're a little, you're shy or an introvert. That doesn't mean that you're either walking around with a lampshade on your head or you're under the bed with a pizza all the time. So.
Oh, you outed me.
Yes. Believe me, I've been under the bed with a pizza many times.
But, you know what it sounds to me, Hazel, is if they're trends and possibilities, and it's kind of like how you want to be in relationship to them, and maybe even as you gain an understanding of astrology to leverage that to your preferences in life.
Exactly. I firmly believe that everybody should have a chart done for their baby the minute the baby's born.
Wow.
Help them to understand, for charts that I've done for my friends and family and clients over the years with their children, they'll get back to me 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years later and say, oh my God, you know, we've kind of not pushed, and I don't believe in pushing kids. I don't believe in saying, because I was a failed ballet dancer, these kids going to dance till their feet falls off. You've got to figure, this will let you know where their strengths and weaknesses might lie, where their things that they might like to do when they grow up, perhaps, that you can experiment with them, you know, it and help them and direct them a little bit, but not force anything on it. But it really tells you about personalities, and also explains a lot about why, you know, people can have four kids and they're four different human beings, or you can have twins and the twins are different. It's depending on when they were born and how they're, even twins born 5 or 6 minutes apart can have different personality traits.
Absolutely. Hazel, do you still do readings for people? And if some, this is fascinating to me. If someone wanted to have a reading, and I'm hoping maybe you can give Jana or I'm not sure Frankenberry would be jumping up and down for a reading, but if someone wanted to get a reading, are you someone as a resource? Do you still do that for people, or where would they go to get that?
I do it very rarely. Actually, I've been focusing on my other book for 2 or 3 years right now, and I really do not... I don't have kind of put my other things, my astrology, on the back burner a little bit. But yes, I would do something for someone. I'll certainly, you know, would be happy to do something for you guys. But anybody, you know, you can always email me at hazeldixoncooper.com, and I would do it. It's fascinating. I love it. I got interested in astrology when I was a kid. There was an old, that you could buy these books at the magazine counter, and they were just little cheap paper magazines that were small. They were like 8x5, and they would have your horoscope in it every month. And it fascinated me. And so then I went to the library and looked up some books on it. And then when I started reading Cosmo when I was a teenager, I liked the astrology column there. And just, you know, it's something that fascinates me. And because I've seen it work. I've seen it work in my own life, and I've seen it work in other people's lives, and I've seen it be helpful to people with things that they're going through, trying to, you know, help it explain why they might be reacting in a certain way. I have psychologists that I worked with for many
years. Oh, wow.
With their clients, and that helped figure out some things. So, and
yeah,
there
it's
are many
not
psychologists.
It's your moon.
Yeah. It's, and there are many psychologists that are astrologers too. They use that. They use to help them understand their clients and to help their clients.
Hazel, can we have a little fun here? Can we take 2 to 3 minutes each and maybe do a little reading for Jana and me? Are you open for that?
Sure. If you're okay. Open to Jana, listening to the rotten day side of your personalities.
I can handle it.
I don't start any day without reading my horoscopes from 3 different zodiac sites every day.
All right, okay. Jana, you want to go first? Do you know all your signs, like your moon sign and your rising sign and that kind of thing?
I know my moon. Well, I'm a Leo, Hazel.
You're a Leo. Okay.
Apparently my moon is in Cancer.
Okay. You're a Leo that cries a lot.
Yes.
If another way to say cry is to bitch a lot, maybe that works.
Okay. Right. I'm a very emotional Leo.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Leos are great. Leos are fun. Leos are fun loving. Leos, the good side of a Leo is that they're generous to a fault with the people they love. And with that Cancer moon, that's going to push you over the edge, because Cancer actually is the moon is ruled. Cancer is ruled by the moon. And so to have your moon sign in Cancer is your emotional seat is just, your emotions can change with the phases of the moon as it goes through its 30-day moon cycle, from the dark moon where you don't see anything to the full moon. So in a 24-hour period, you could, you know, laugh or cry or get mad at somebody or threaten to move out and then move back in or feel like you're going to do that. All of that stuff.
This is your life right now, Jonna.
I know. You're
this is with my, hold on one second. My, here's Cancer. And this is just the start. I'll just read the start of the paragraph for Leo and for Cancer. So this would be your sun sign, Leo. This is called Approach with Caution. Leo is the fifth sun of the zodiac and lives in the house of creativity and sex. Any astrology book will tell you that Leos are proud, self-assured, exuberant fun lovers who are loyal, generous, and elegant. A Leo astrologer wrote those books. Truth is, lions are attention-grabbing, overbearing egomaniacs whose childish, self-centered behavior is exceeded only by their obnoxious attempts to boss everybody around.
That's it. Bingo, bingo.
That's born on a rotten day. That's my first one. Now we're going to go to Cancer, and this will probably make the Cancer in you go under the bed.
This
or
is
send
fun.
Me a mail in bomb or something. Cancer is the fourth sign of the zodiac. Lives in the house of home and lives in the house of home. Feel good astrology promotes Cancer as private, nurturing, and deeply committed to family and friends. The truth is that crabs are oblique, manipulating, and should be committed by their family and friends.
Oh my God. Is this from one of your books, Hazel?
I'm sorry?
Is this from one of your books?
Yes, this is from Born on a Rotten Day. This is my first book.
This is fantastic.
Yeah, this is so fun.
Can we do me now?
I sure can.
Or do you have more to say? Okay. Okay. So I am a Sagittarius.
Okay.
And I looked up earlier because I don't follow this as much as Jonna does. My moon sign is Aries.
Oh boy. Fire. You're all fire.
Yeah.
Oh my God. All right. Just Sagittarian and Aries, you're always charging forward everywhere you go with both feet stuck firmly in your mouth.
In my mouth.
All right, let's read about Sagittarius. And Sagittarians never know an enemy. I mean, a friend. Never know a stranger. Excuse me. Sagittarians never know a stranger. They are always happy. Usually they are, they're fun loving. They're adventurous. Sagittarius is in the ninth house, which is the house of travel and philosophy and higher education, like, you know, keeping lifelong learning and those kind of things. And
true.
Whether they just watch the Travel Channel or they're actually travel around the world, they love to take trips or think they're going to take trips or plan trips or see how other people live. And Aries, the Aries moon is, Aries is the first sign of the zodiac, and they are, like a little baby. They love attention. They need a lot of, even though they're forward and they're usually fearless with things that they try. They need praise. They need praise a lot. And so, but as Sagittarius Aries, I would think that you're probably pretty fearless, and that if you decide you're going to try something, you just go right ahead and do it. You know, it's like, damn, the torpedoes, full speed ahead. So let's read Sagittarius, Approach with Caution. Sagittarius lives in the ninth house of philosophy, adventure, and long distance travel. In astrological myth, this mutable fire sign is described as a gregarious, honest fun lover who was born with philosophical outlook and a yen to wander. The rotten truth is that this tactless, vociferous boar glumps through the world with one foot caught in a bucket and the other lodged firmly between his or her overdeveloped jaws. So mean. Oh God, I forgot how mean this book was. I
And you wrote it.
Oh, I think it's hilarious. Jeez. This is good.
So here's Aries. We're going to add more here. Here's Aries. Aries, the first sun of the zodiac, resides in the house of self. Astrology textbooks describe the ram as a charming, enthusiastic, natural-born leader who gleefully rushes through life with tremendous joy de vivre. The truth is, this bossy, egotistical motor mouth is as self-absorbed as a two-year-old and has a me complex the size of Texas.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I know. Go ahead.
That is hilarious. And I love this fun take on astrology. But the truth is, the first part of what you read about Carol, the Sagittarius, the true Sagittarian, is exactly what she is like. They are. Exactly.
One of my closest friends is Sagittarius, and she never knows. She's always throwing parties for 200 or 300 of her closest friends and really thinks all those people are her close friends. You know, they'll do anything for you. Sagittarians are one of those people that you can call. Yeah, and a Scorpio too. You know, Scorpios are that way too. But Sagittarians are one of those people that you can call, even if you're not, even if you're not like the tightest friend, say this, but you're good friends, or you just even a casual acquaintance, if you need somebody, if you really need somebody, you can call a Sagittarius at 3 o'clock in the morning and they'll be there to help you in any way they can. That's just the way they are. They're good.
Maybe I looked up the wrong moon sign.
No, your moon sign's wonderful. Actually, that Aries can kind of temper the Sagittarius a little bit, although it's a really good, both of those signs are really good. Leo and Cancer is a good combination, because Cancer will temper sometimes Leo's impulsiveness a little bit, because Leos can be a little bit impulsive with what they do. And the Aries fire can just add to Sagittarians, help them focus a little bit more on what they want. Because Sagittarius sometimes can be scattered because they want to do everything at once.
Word to your mother.
Word.
Hazel, you're
astrologer.
Yes, you're so much fun. We appreciate that you took the time to come back and talk to us. We're wrapping up here with Hazel Dixon Cooper. She was formerly the astrologer for Cosmopolitan Magazine. She's written 5 different books on astrology, and also her most recent book, which she was with us a few weeks ago to talk about, A Confessions of a Fat Cosmo Girl. If you want to listen to or learn about her story of how she lost 120 pounds and kept it off. We always love talking with you, Hazel. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. And her books, let me just read them again, are Born on a Rotten Day, Love on a Rotten Day, Work on a Rotten Day, Friends on a Rotten Day, and Harness Astrology's Bad Boy, in addition to the her most recent book. Hazel, thank you so much for having fun with us today and taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It was wonderful talking to you again. Take care.
We love having you. Thanks, Hazel.
Thank you, Jonna.
We do appreciate it, Hazel. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Frank and Mary.
And we've got Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci, and we're not done yet. Segment 3 is on the way, so please stick with us as we'll be right back.
Live better, laugh harder, love more. This is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol on 92.9 WBPM.
And welcome back one more time to Happy Hour here on this Sunday morning with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello,
Frankenberry.
Yeah, we did it.
Yeah.
We did.
No, we didn't.
No, you didn't. Carol and I are both correct, just like we were last week. No, you didn't, Donna.
We did it. And I'm like, it sounded like you said it like 5 minutes after I said it. But anyway.
Thanks so much to Hazel Dixon Cooper for joining us. And I got to tell you, her 2 readings of you were pretty darn entertaining, the readings of you two. So
they were entertaining, but I do think I got my moon wrong, because she said if she knew the sun sign and then the moon sign and then the rising sign, which we didn't even talk about, that she could give a more accurate one. But the Aries part of me, I don't think... suited me, so maybe I looked up the wrong moon. I don't know.
You gotta make sure when you're looking it up and you put in the time of day or night, whatever, that you were born, you gotta make sure that you're accounting for the actual time zone. Because a lot of these charts are, you know, off on the time zone. And this just reminds me, this is a quick little story, but I probably shouldn't even admit this, but there was, okay.
But you're going to.
You've admitted in the past, Jonna, just please go right ahead.
So I am so, what my father likes to call me, zodiacal. Like, I've been into horoscopes and the zodiac for a really long time, but not professionally. Like, it really is kind of difficult to understand. I mean, you have to truly study these angles, and it's a lot of math. I kind of just admit it for the fun. So one time, a long time ago, I went to a party. And then I was at a party, and it just so happened that I had known enough astrology to know what the basic personalities are of the 12 sun signs, right? So I'm at this party, and I don't know how we got into it. I must have been a little bit drunk, but I started giving out like free fortune telling readings. Like, you know, I told people that I was like a psychic or something, but I wasn't. I was just drunk at a party. So,
this is so you.
People were lining up to get, you know, quote, readings from me, right? And so I'm at this party and I'm asking people their signs, and then I'm just espousing all the different traits that I think I knew they were. And people were in awe, and I'm just drunk off my butt, fooling around because I knew a little bit of astrology. I had people calling me, like wanting to pay good money for me to tell their future. I was eating it up. I'm like, bring me another margarita. When were you born? Well, let me tell you something. It was like one of the funnest parties I ever went to.
Oh, God.
Carol, you know what the best part is? Is this story started out with Jonna saying, you know, I think I might have been drunk. And it ended up with Jonna saying, so here I am, drunk off my butt.
Oh, I could. This is so you. Oh, I could totally see it.
No harm, no foul. It wasn't like I was really predicting the future. But people were, I mean, so the moral of the story is, this stuff is pretty real, because people, in terms of personality traits, you know, and I have done this in the past, and this is true, not drunk. Like, if I had like an opponent in court or something that I knew was who I did not get along with, I would go out of my way to find out what their sign was so that I could figure out a way to communicate with them better. And that's the truth.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Because some people just, you know, I mean, we've all had this, right? Have you ever met somebody? Like dogs are notorious for this. They know immediately if they don't like a person. Sometimes right. People can do that with other people. And that, yeah. To me, that could be astrology based.
That's right. If you do your, you know, astrological homework like Jonna does in the court of law, mm-hmm. It could work
mm-hmm.
for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, then why don't you start doing astrology readings for pets as a little side thing?
Oh, wouldn't that be fun?
$1 million idea. You know, number.
You would get immediate results, Jonna. You would know whether the astrology reading went well or not, because depending on the dog, you could get bitten. You know, that dog instantly, sure. Oh, she's going to say some crap about my moons and my stars, and I'm not going to like it. Chomp, chomp.
I just want
my stars. Oh, man. Oh, so that was
fun.
Right.
I love fun stuff like this. And people love astrology. They love psychics. They love mediums. You know, that's another thing. Let's just for whatever giggles, let's just say hi to, you know, we haven't talked to our friend Deb Hamlin in a while.
Yeah, she's I was thinking about her the other day. Yeah, maybe we'll have her back on sometime soon, too. She's always fun.
I have,
you know what? I
always
people
ask me about her all the time.
Well, you know what I always remember is you remember those events that we used to have when I was up the street at the other station called What Women Want.
Yep.
And there was What Women Want. There was always somebody there to do readings for, like, to, you know, it was always a psychic medium of some type or a psychic of some type there. And that was, at the end of the night, always the most difficult part was to get those people the hell out of the room.
I believe that.
You know, because there was always a line that was, you know, 20 people long, and the, you know, the gig is over, and it's like, all right, no, you're going to have to leave, and, you know, your psychic should have known that, okay? Don't psychics wear watches? Get out.
Oh, funny.
But yeah, people love that. Anyway, you know what else they love? They love Happy Hour with Jonna, Carol, and our token male. Frankenberry.
Sure, right. They do.
And sometimes they love it when it's over. So this is the end. All right. But again, for everybody that tuned in this morning, thank you so much for joining us. We do appreciate it. And, you know, certainly hope that you enjoyed our interview with Hazel Dixon Cooper and her talking astrology. And if you missed the show, you can always catch this happy hour or any other happy hours by going to 929wbpm.com/happy hour. And you'll be able to find all the old shows. But for Jonna, for Carol, and myself, and for you all, thanks for joining us. And we'll be back again next week, same time, right here on K104. And we'll talk to you then.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929wbpm.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM.